Don't miss his transforming presence. Grace, superabundant grace. The bridegroom is here tonight. Oh, the spirit of the bridegroom is here tonight. Let no man touch your soul. Your soul belongs to him. Dearly beloved, there he is. He's right there. He is standing right there. And he's saying to you, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. For you will hate the one and love the other, or you will love the one and hate the other. He is standing here tonight because he wants claim to that which you have given to another. Matthew chapter 6. He wants to claim you tonight. He wants to put the miner's axe into your most innermost being and lay claim to you tonight. That's why he's here. He wants to own you in a way he's never owned you before. That's why he's here. He's not trying to put on a display. He is the shepherd coming for that precious lamb. He is the groom coming for the bride that is rightfully his. You didn't know the rights are his. And he's here to lay claim to what is rightfully his. It's love. He's standing here. It's love. Be very sensitive to his spirit, and he'll do something in you right now. He'll do it right now if you will lay your heart open to him in honesty and ask him to take what it is here to take. Don't hold back. He is not the God of two masters. He alone wants to be the sovereign Lord of your life. He is love. He wants to remind you of the ring that he put upon your finger when he betrothed you to himself. He wants you to be touched by none other but him. He wants complete ownership. Do not give yourself to another, but to him alone. He stands in the shadows, outside of the lattice. He puts his hand upon the door. And he leaves myrrh on the handle for you. Do you feel him tugging on your innermost being? Do you feel the spirit down here tugging? That's because he's here. He's calling something out of you. Yield it to him. Respond to that tugging. The author of it is here. He's looking into your heart, yearning to give to you what you hunger for. Isn't it wonderful to come to church and actually have a one-on-one with the husband of the church? It's not about good preaching, is it? It's about what God wants to say to your heart. Himself. He's quite beautiful, isn't he? It's a beautiful thing to be touched by God. It's a wonderful thing to be transformed by the one who loves your soul. Acres of diamonds. Acres of diamonds. That's what he calls. That's what he gives. You say yes to the call, he will give you the diamonds of revelation about himself. Acres of diamonds. The price, everything. And don't be afraid to pay it. Because everything cannot compare to what he gives in himself. Do you agree? He is a wonderful, wonderful Lord, all-wise God. Have you turned to Matthew yet? Matthew chapter 6. Last night, we started to, well, I was actually headed for verse 10, and we got stopped at verse 9, because I was taken into an experience where I saw God creating. What a wonderful and beautiful. Oh, reality. Someone might be really glad that their father owns Saks Fifth Avenue or L'Oreal or Chevron. But what do you do when your God, your father is the creator? That means nothing you have need of will he deny you. Even if he has to create it to make it happen. That's an invitation into the supernatural, isn't it? Oh, I can't do that. I can't be supernatural. I can't walk with God in the supernatural like that. Why? You're born again. You're expected to walk with him like that. You're born again. You are born of his loins. He is your father. He expects you to walk like that. And if he expects it, you can. Amen? Do you believe that? Yes. Do you? Yes. I think just about every minister has the awesome testimonies of needing to be someplace and for whatever reason, not having enough gas and driving on supernatural for impossible lengths of time. He is a supernatural God, and he expects us to walk with him supernaturally. That is his desire. Until you get into the supernatural, you deny yourself so much of the kingdom. Do you want to say that? Until I get into the supernatural, I deny myself of so much of the kingdom. So I was headed into verse 10. And I got interrupted by a supernatural visitation. A supernatural revelation. Our Father, who is in heaven. I wonder if Jesus thought before he made that statement, what is the best way to present this to my disciples? Our Father, of whom heaven is in, our Father who is in heaven, our Father who reigns above all of the heavens. I wonder if he thought, what would be the best way to present this to his disciples? And I think he chose this way, because listen to what it says. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. In that one statement, he is telling his disciples, and he is telling us, heaven is a holy place because our Father dwells there, and we keep his name holy, because where he dwells, it must be holy. Heaven is a beautiful place. I've been there many times. There is no beauty like it. No, not in all the earth. Everything in heaven is extraordinarily beautiful. Even the most common rocks in the streams look like precious jewels. The trees, the flowers, the leaves of the grass are all clothed with the glory of God. Utterly perfect in every way, but clothed with his glory. Every human being clothed with his glory. Every angel clothed with his glory. Every building, and there are many. You have your house, I have mine. Specially designed with you in mind. Yes. All clothed with the glory of God. Every place in heaven, the presence of our Lord is so real that it feels like he's standing right next to you. You keep looking because his presence is so pervasive that it feels like he's getting ready to speak to you as he stands next to you. unimaginable that you could have a trip to heaven and that he wouldn't be right by your side every moment. But that's not always the way he does it. He has other things for you to see, other things for you to learn, and he pops in and out of your visits. Everything in heaven is clothed with his glory. The mountains are clothed with his glory. There are mountains that look like they're capped with snow, but it's not snow. It's the glory of God. And they're beautiful. The colors of the mountains have extraordinary colors. Colors you would never see on this earth. And they're extraordinary in their beauty. The fields. How can a field be so extraordinarily beautiful? How do you explain how it can be? I love meadows. I love to go up to Yellowstone and see the magnificent meadows of Yellowstone. But they cannot compare to the meadows of heaven. The waters of heaven are crystalline. The Bible tells us that. But until you've seen crystalline waters, you don't know how beautiful they really are. I used to think there was no water more beautiful, not any place in all of creation, than in Canada. But I found waters more beautiful, and they're in heaven. Everything is clothed with the glory of God. And you hear this barely perceptible sound. And it sounds like worship. And it flows through everything in heaven. It flows even through inanimate objects. It flows through the trees, the flowers, everything. This beautiful, beautiful sound of worship. I always thought it was the angels singing because it's so high and it's so beautiful. But it's not. Do you know what it is? Nope. God is light. And the sound that I heard is the music, the sound, the song that plays through light. It is the sound of light. It is true. One of America's most highly respected scientists spent some time in one of my meetings. And he asked me to talk to him about heaven. So I shared with him what I'd seen, what I'd heard. And he said, "What do you think the song is? What do you think that beautiful music is? What do you think it is?" I said, "I've asked the Lord for so long, and he's never told me. But I'll ask him one more time so I can tell you whatever he tells me." So the next morning, I'm getting ready for the service, and the Lord just speaks to me. He didn't use the word light, though. I think it was iridescence, something like that. Incandescence, that's what he said. I said, "That's light. That means light. Lord, that means light. Is that right?" And he said, "That's what you heard." So when I met with the scientist, I said, "I know what it is." And I told him what the Lord said. And he sat there with his mouth wide open. And he said, do you know that science has just discovered that light has a song? He said, that is a brand new discovery. We never knew it before. Why does heaven hear the song and not the earth? Because light is released in its fullest effulgence. It cannot be here because earth is not holy. There, it is holy. And all that God is released in its perfect purity. Our Father, who art in heaven, if God is light, what does that make you? Be holy. Be holy, that the fellowship of light may be perfect. Jesus said, the prince of this world comes, and he has nothing in me. He is in the light. How? He is in the light as the Father is in the light. As the Father is light, so is the Son. Why am I telling you this? It is an invitation to come out of the darkness and into the marvelous light where you can know your Father. Our Father who is in heaven. Heaven is in him. Heaven is in him. He's omnipresent. There is no place where he isn't. Yet Jesus said, who is in heaven? Because he has a place for you. You stand there before him every moment. Carefully guarded, carefully protected. You who are on this earth, stand before him. He is the Father of heaven, and he is the Father of earth. His call is for you to learn to separate yourself from that which hinders your growth as a son and a daughter. He wants you, he wants me, to come into the light where all darkness flees, that you might become truly a mature son of the light, illumined every part. Illuminate my darkness, the psalmist said. Illuminate my darkness. Isn't that amazing? David prayed that prayer a long time before the church came. It isn't a brand new revelation. Isn't that amazing? It's as old as the eternal hills. God is crying out for a people who want to come out of the darkness, have their souls illuminated with the light, that they might have fellowship with the light and be made into his glorious image. Our Father, who art in heaven. He's not a God far off, yet heaven is far away. He's not a God far off. He's a God here. Your Father who is in heaven is near. Our Father, who art in heaven. Holy place, because God's there. Holy place, because it is the place of His throne. Earth is not holy, yet it is set apart unto God, because it is the place of His footstool. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. Holy is His dwelling place. The Bible says that He dwells in a high and holy place, but He also dwells with you if you have a contrite heart and a broken spirit. Contrition releases the light to illuminate your darkness. You become a child who understands when you walk in fellowship with the light. What light? The unapproachable light. We cannot approach it in our own, but Christ, who is the bridge, who is the Son of Light, who is light, He sends His Spirit. Please receive this into your heart. Go down deep. Let it go down deep. He sends His Spirit to search the inward parts of you to find a place for the great and deep parts of God by illuminating your darkness. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed and holy be Your name. Hallowed and holy be Your name. Hallowed and holy be Your name. You know, the best way to have a good life on this earth is to know God, to know Him intimately, to become one with Christ. That's the best way, because He's Lord of it all. To keep holding on to just a little bit of the world because it feels safe is to destroy the abundant life to which you've been called. Because a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. Someone once said to me, "How can you be so spiritual and have a job?" You know, the average person can't sit around and pray all day like you do. And you guys are all looking at me, waiting for the answer, right? You can do it. How can you be so spiritual and have a husband or a wife and children? Abraham did it. Enoch did it. Must be possible. But you have to carry him with you every minute. Keep pulling yourself back to him all day long. And you must allow him to develop you in his nature. And his nature is love. He just loved. He's been here all this time. He just walked out the door. Desire him. How? With all of your mind, all of your heart, part of your soul. No, that's wrong. All of your soul. Most of your strength. All of your strength. Desire Him with the whole of you. For He says, when you seek Him with all of your heart, He will be found of you. How much? All. And as though to make the invitation even more inviting, He lets us know at the end of that passage that He has good plans in store. A good end. To who? Those who will seek Him with all of their heart, all of their mind, all of their soul, all of their strength. Now, if you belong to Him, heaven is your home. But why not have the heavenly grace here? Why not have the heart that seeks with its whole being the Son of the living God? Jesus said, where your heart is, there will be... No, that's not how it goes. Why can't I remember it? Where your treasure is. Your treasure. Where it is. Where your treasure is. If your treasure's out on the farm, where's your heart? Where your treasure is. If your heart is linked to the treasure of your beautiful car, where's your heart? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's why our heart must be set on above, on the things above, that our treasure can be stored above. And what is our greatest treasure if it is not the Son of Love? If He is our treasure, there will our heart be also. We think we need all kinds of things in this earth. But we don't. You'd be amazed at how simple you can live. Ask most of East India how simple you can live. Ask a large population of China how simple you can live. Ask a large population in Africa how simple you can live. We don't have to have so many treasures on this earth that we lose sight of the treasure. Oh, the glory. The glory. When you're saturated with Him, there's no room left to want anything here. The soul can only hold so much, you know. But when you're saturated with the living God, oh, I am trying so hard to stay standing. His Spirit is sweeping through me so hard right now. I just want you to drink, because what I'm telling you is a truth that is more precious than all the gold of this earth. He is your treasure. Our Father lives in heaven, where it is a holy place, And he wants to fill the soul of his children who will make for him a holy place. Oh. People will sometimes say to me, what do you have to do to have the Lord visit you so much? You know what I tell them? You have to die. You just have to die. That's all. Be filled with the light. Just die. That's all. And when it's over, the only thing that has really died is all that is unholy. Do you want to dwell with your Father who is in heaven? Do you want him to make you his sacred temple? Want it with all your heart. Some say he's in my heart. I am his temple. Now you know that that's not what he's talking about. In your heart of hearts, you know there's something more. There's something greater. There is a greater possession. There is a greater dominion. There is a greater fullness. You know it in your heart, don't you? You know that there's a huge difference between putting a candle in a temple and putting the Lord in that temple. You know that, don't you? Want it up with all your heart. Let nothing stand in your way. Seek it with all your might. Don't keep the double heart. Don't keep. I am really losing it up here. I'm sorry, guys. Every time I try to tell you something that he really likes, he fills me so full, I just lose it. What was I saying? Double mind. That's what you let go of. Don't be double-minded. Because the Bible tells us you will never have what you desire as long as you are double-minded. Crave him with all of your mind, all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. Let the Spirit enter you. Let the Spirit of truth touch you tonight. And receive his words. Tell him. Tell him how you want it. Tell him what you want. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with truth. Fill us with your eternal light. Fill us with the Spirit of holiness. Lord, fill us. Oh. Come up, let me lay hands on you. Let me.